This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into On The Ball. After a dominant victory in the third T20, which sealed the series 2-1, India and West Indies now gear up for a three-match ODI series. To preview this, we have our group sports editor Gaurav Kala joining us back on the show. Hello and welcome back, Gaurav.
Nice to be here, Dustin.
Well, Gaurav, before we move on, let me remind our listeners that your prediction of 2-1 in the T20I series did come true.
Yes.
And I would just like to do a quick evaluation of the T20I tour, Gaurav. Firstly, who are the players who impressed you the most over these three matches in the Indian squad?
Well, obviously, I mean, the usual suspects in a sense. Virat Kohli was spectacular in the way that he played in the series. Rohit Sharma had that good innings in the last T20. I was very happy to see the success that KL Rahul had in the series, especially in that last game. He got an opportunity to bat at the top of the order. He's a natural opener, Dustin. This is what he likes doing. And the other ability that he has is to bat at a very high tempo. He's got, he's all class, you know, in the way that he plays. He's got the traditional game, but he's got that ability to bat at a very high tempo. And now that he had this opportunity, I think in the middle order, he was a little bit wasted. They were trying to fit him in because of the obvious quality rather than that being his natural habitat, so to speak. Now, as he's been promoted to opener, he's had success. So that was obviously something that one really enjoyed watching. The bowlers had a bit of a struggle in this series. All the bowlers across the two teams went for a lot of runs. So that's to be expected when teams have such power hitting in their mix.
Well, Gaurav, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Wankhede win. Batting first for once, India were really dominant and it was India's third highest T20I total. Does this win set a roadmap for the future or are we reading too much into this one victory?
No, I think there is a template there because this has been a little problem area for India. The fact that when they are batting first, they're not quite sure of the rhythm of a T20. You know, what is the target that they need to set for themselves? They seem to be very comfortable when it comes to chasing. And even if they have slow starts in chases, they have had players like Rohit Sharma who can really accelerate Virat Kohli, who's an exceptional chaser, and then some power hitting towards the end, guys like Hardik Pandya, etc. In this game, I was very taken by the fact that from the very first over, India started to really accelerate. They didn't really wait to get in and play almost in this one-day style of seeing what the wicket's doing, things of that nature. But they started to go on the attack right from the beginning. Also, with Rishabh Pant coming up, there was a clear indication that they wanted that momentum to continue. I was surprised that Shivam Dubey wasn't used in that role because he'd had success doing that just one game earlier. Definitely, Dustin, I think there is a clear thought process that when India is batting first, they need to be freer. They need to be less shackled and they need to set themselves, they play with a sort of freedom that they do with when they are chasing. So, very good signs from an Indian point of view, the fact that they batted first and got 240 almost on the board.
So, going ahead, do you think India will be adopting this same approach in further T20Is?
Well, obviously, it will be conditions driven and obviously, the West Indies isn't the most threatening bowling attack in the world when you compare it to the others that are there. I mean, if you look at Sheldon Cottrell, he's the one standout bowler. Yes, Keswick Williams, but not in the same league. Other teams will present different kinds of challenges and that will mean that getting 240 every time is not going to be possible. But definitely, I think if India are going to play with the mandate for a lot of their batsmen to be more free-flowing, guys like Shivam Dubey and Hardik Pandya, when he comes in, could play an important role. And at the top, with Rahul and Rohit playing in the way they did, I think it's about 70 in the power play, which is a very big sign. So I think this is an area they wanted to address and they've shown that they can do that. It was also important, I think, at the back of their mind, they knew that against this West Indies team, 180, 190 was not going to be enough. They wanted to get an additional 30, 40 runs and ended up doing that.
Well, Gaurav, moving on to the ODI series, we'll talk about the opposition first. The West Indies last played an ODI series at the start of November. It was against Afghanistan at Lucknow and they won it 3-0. What can we expect from them in this series and what are the major threats in this squad that India need to be wary of?
Well, yes, they did beat Afghanistan, but then that's Afghanistan. Yeah. Afghanistan is not quite as accomplished a one-day team as they are a T20 team. They beat the West Indies in the T20s. The West Indies are ranked number 9 in one-day cricket, and there's a reason for that. It's not a format which they have really, in the last few years, set the world on fire. You know, they are still struggling to find the right personnel. Guys like Shea Hope are players who can play the longest innings. But, you know, I think between the 20-over and the 50-over format, there's such difference in the way you play, in the method that you adopt. India, for instance, are number two in the world, one of the best teams in the world right now. And they play a very different one-day style of cricket than T20. Yeah. And they, I think, get the right tempo for the one-day game in many ways. So the West Indies have struggled with personnel, with the type of players that they've had and the kind of cricket that they've played. So I think while they beat Afghanistan, and that will give them confidence obviously, they really start very much underdogs.
Well, Guru, speaking about the method and tempo, when India last played an ODI series, it was against the West Indies at home and we won it 2-0 with one match washed out. Yeah. And there was a lot of talk that the West Indies were struggling because they were caught between two minds of going for the big shots or trying to get a right tempo. What do you think they should do to solve this problem? Should they just stick to their method of go big and go home with players contributing big totals and getting out soon? Or should they try to pace themselves more?
No, I think the West Indies need to play in a more one-day rhythm. Hmm. Also, remember, in the last few years in India, in particular, one-day cricket hasn't seen a lot of huge scores. In India, in the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a sort of tapering off of scores. So 270, 280 as good targets to set in one-day cricket. I think Pollard's intervention as captain will be very important here. And some of their more experienced players will have to play a different style of game. Nicholas Pooran, who's just coming through, is in the squad. You know, Hetmyer, Shea Hope, who I referred to earlier, players like this, you know, I know they've got this ability to play big shots, the ability to take the game to the opposition. But in one-day cricket, I think they'll have to temper that approach. And Phil Simmons, who's their coach, I'm sure that'll be the message that'll go down to the West Indies, that against this Indian team, they need to make sure that they are setting decent targets, they are sharp in the field for 50 overs, and they are disciplined with the ball. It'll be uphill, because India play one-day cricket very well.
Yeah.
And their record is excellent in one-day cricket. But I think if the West Indies play the T20 style, they'll get nowhere.
Well, coming back to our home team now, India. I would like to start by asking this. Overall in this year, in terms of numbers alone, Mayank Agarwal has been, if not the best, then one of the top batsmen across formats, both domestically and international. Now he comes in as a replacement for the injured Shikhar Dhawan. There's a conundrum here for Team India. Do they stick with KL Rahul at the top based on recent form, or should Mayank Agarwal be given an opportunity in the one-day format?
No, I think that to start with, India's got to stay with KL Rahul. And KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma should be opening. The reason I say that, Dustin, is KL Rahul's shown good form.
Yeah.
He's made runs in the T20 format. He's got proven ability as a class player across formats. There seems to be no doubt about that. And I think that he's earned his stripes. At the end of the day, KL Rahul was the spare opener in this squad when it was originally selected.
Yeah.
Now, with the main opener gone, the spare opener comes up to assume that position and Mayank Agarwal becomes the spare opener. So, I think that would be the logic that I would apply to this situation. Frankly, I believe that India will open with Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul and then obviously have that middle order which is so strong with Virat Kohli, Shreyas Iyer coming in at 3 and 4, etc. going down. So, I just don't see how Mayank Agarwal starts. But then, of course, if the management wants to experiment and look at how he is in this format, then maybe they'll give him a go.
Well, Gaurav, could we talk a little more about KL Rahul's form? We've seen him over the past year when he puts on the white jersey in the longer format. He always seems to struggle and seems a little bit muddled in his mind. But when he puts on the blue jersey, there's this clarity and flair that just flows through and he looks imperious. What do you think is the main difference between the KL Rahul in test format and KL Rahul in T20s?
No, I think that in test cricket, he's had a period where there have been some technical deficiencies that have been exposed. I think people who are more accomplished at sort of technical analysis than I am have spoken extensively about how KL Rahul has had a problem against the moving red ball and he's been displaced as India's preferred opener in test cricket. In T20 cricket, as we've seen, I think the range of stroke play is what makes him such a delightful batsman to watch. If you notice, in the last game there was some power, but also he played some delightful touch shots. There were some late cuts just off the wicket keeper's gloves. He's got this range of shots which is 360 degrees, and that is very rare in a batsman of this time. I mean, you even don't see the range of shot making in Virat Kohli to the extent that KL Rahul seems to have. He's got his angles and he doesn't seem to need a lot of power to clear the fence. So these are things that really work in his favor. He's still young, and I think that this kind of success, if he continues to have that in the short formats, will perhaps just give him that comfort that I'm doing well for India and the opportunities that I'm getting. And then if a door opens in the future in test match cricket, he'll be ready to take that a little more. Because I think after this series ends, then there is an opportunity for him to play a little bit of Ranji Trophy cricket, hopefully. Although in January again, India play a fair amount of white ball cricket. So how much game time he gets, one is not quite sure. But, you know, the quality has been visible for anyone to see.
Well, Gaurav, this big news that Jasprit Bumrah will be back in the nets from the second ODI onwards, and they'll be testing whether his back holds up when he bowls against the Indian batsmen. But India haven't exactly seemed to suffer in his absence. Do you think the pace attack has enough firepower to challenge the West Indies big hitters in this series?
So I think one of the things that we've got to realize is that 50 over cricket, one day cricket, is not a priority area for India at this moment. Now with the World Cup over and the next one only in 2023, so the our priority area is very much T20 cricket, because there's a T20 World Cup in 2020 and another one in 2021. So there's two back-to-back T20 World Cups coming up, so that is a more urgent project, if you like, Dustin, in Indian cricket than one day cricket. It's good that someone like Deepak Chahar, who's had success in T20 cricket, is now going to get an opportunity in one-day cricket. Bhuvneshwar Kumar is coming back. Remember, a bowler is expected to bowl 10 overs in a 50-over game. That's a lot more than 4 overs. It requires a different level of fitness, and it requires you to bowl at various stages of the game. So you would expect someone like Shami and Bhuvneshwar Kumar not to have much concern, because they're experienced. But let's see if Deepak Chahar gets a continuous run of 3 games, because one would imagine as soon as Jasprit Bumrah is fit, he takes his place back in the Indian one-day team. So, like I said, I don't think that one-day cricket is a huge priority area for India right now. Over the next year, a couple of years, you might see a lot of players get an opportunity so India can find the right mix going forward.
There's been a little selection headache when it comes to the spin department of India. We've seen over the past the Kulcha combo of Kuldeep and Yuzvendra Chahal. They have had success, but off late that seems to have tapered off, and India have opted to go with a Jadeja or a Kedar Jadhav just to get some balance in the squad. What do you think is the ideal combination in the spin department for this squad?
I think India, as much as far as possible in one day cricket, should definitely look to play both Kuldeep and Chahal together, because we've seen since that 2017 Champions Trophy that as a pair they are very, very effective together. When they bowl together, they have a lot more success than when they are individually broken up. And I think the fact that they've lost their place occasionally and been in and out of the 11 seems to have, you know, definitely taken some sort of toll on both the guys. So I would like to see that India play both their wrist spinners in combination, because that was a formula that worked very well for them in one day cricket. They were taking wickets in the middle overs and always keeping the opposition under threat. There were never overs in which the opposition thought that they could just milk them for singles. So that's a combination that I would like to see continue. The problem, of course, is if India want to bat deeper, then immediately they start to think about players like Ravindra Jadeja as one of their four bowling options, frontline bowling options. And then, you know, then have players like Kedar Jadhav, Shivam Dubey in the mix, all these guys who can contribute as the fifth bowler.
Well then, Gaurav, after having spoken so much, what do you think is the most balanced playing 11 for India in this series?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the squad. I think that India will play with Rahul and Rohit Sharma as openers. Virat Kohli is the greatest number 3 that one can imagine, so he will play at number 3. I would imagine Shreyas Iyer at 4 and Rishabh Pant at 5. I think India are almost compelled to play Kedar Jadhav at 6, because they would want a sixth bowling option. So Kedar Jadhav, Shivam Dubey, 6 and 7. And then maybe four bowling options would be the two spinners, Kuldeep Yadav and Yuzvendra Chahal. And then Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Mohammad Shami come into my playing 11 as the fast bowling options. It could be either of Deepak Chahar or that. Because I don't think India will want to play with just five frontline bowling options and not have that sixth guy in the mix, which is why someone like a Manish Pandey may miss out to someone like a Kedar Jadhav. That would be my reading.
Well, lastly, Gaurav, you predicted the T20I series, right? And I'd ask you to put your prediction hat back on. And could you tell us, what do you see happening over the course of these three ODI matches?
Well, I mean, it's said that in the prediction business, if you've got one right, then you should quit, because then you are ahead. But I think India will be way too strong. I predict a 3-0 win for India in the one-day series.
Thanks for sharing all your views with us, Gaurav, on this show.
Now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of On The Ball. If you'd like to comment on this episode or shoot in any questions to us, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.